Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Ken Miller, Senior Director of Administration and Student Affairs at Penn State Barron.
Welcome to this edition of Barron Talks. I am Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor of Penn State Erie, the Barron College, and we have discussions on Barron Talks with interesting people in our community. My guest today is Dr. Ken Miller, Senior Director of Administration and Student Affairs. Welcome, Dr. Miller.
Thanks, Ralph.
So, Ken, let's just start out. Tell us a little bit. I do like to know, you know, you've been here at the college for a while. You've got a lot of experience. Tell us about what you do. What does this mean to be Senior Director of Administration and Student Affairs?
Well, I've been with the college for quite a while, and I've had the pleasure of seeing the college grow and develop. And one of the things I really enjoy about being the Director of Administration as well as Student Affairs is to play a part in how we grow and identifying needs and then the resources to make those needs happen. And it's been quite the ride over the years, and we watched Barron grow in size and quality, and it's just transformed into a pretty amazing place. So day to day, I have responsibility for all the many of the out of class functions that impact students, from health and wellness to personal counseling, residence life, student leadership, things of that nature, as well as serving as a budget executive for the campus.
Well, we're happy that you're here, and I'll say as well, you know, you and I have worked together for many years, and I also feel very fortunate that we've just been given this great opportunity to grow with this institution, and I think you demonstrate, you know, you're very indicative of the sort of leadership we have here, which is a tremendous number of people at Barron who, you know, we talk about how long we've been here, and that's a good thing. Why don't you go a little further, though? You didn't grow up in Erie. You didn't have a connection to Erie. So how did you end up here?
Well, that's a great story. When I was graduating from my master's program, I had obviously heard of Penn State. I had never heard of Penn State Barron. And I was at a conference in Florida looking for a job, and I saw a job posting for this residence life at Penn State Barron. And so I called my then girlfriend, who was on spring break. She was originally from Erie, but was living in Virginia at the time. So I asked her about Penn State Barron. She said, "Oh, you need to talk to my mother." So she put her mother on the phone, and her mother, who had grown up in Erie but then left, said, "Oh, the Barron Center, you're going to like it. It's very pretty there," and really encouraged me to check it out. So I owe it to my mother-in-law to find out about Barron, and came and interviewed, and really got sold. Jack Burke and John Lilly really sold me on the potential that we had and that the college promoted and offered, and that kind of sealed the deal. And I've been trying to leave ever since and just can't seem to get away.
Well, the campus beauty brings many here, and mm-hmm. we have changed so much since Barron Center, and you will still hear some people in the community use that term. Well, we are here to talk about growth today because you oversee an important function, which is the campus planning function. And as many of our listeners may know, we have announced a major project, which is the reconstruction of Erie Hall. And so I want to spend some time talking about that project. And, you know, tell us, you know, a little bit just about how does this campus master planning process work, and how did we get to this point of having to expand in this way?
Well, the campus master plan is really an important process within the university as well as at the campus. It's a physical plan, so we look at the needs of the campus, the current needs, the enrollment trends, what our future needs are likely to be, and then we develop a plan for the future. And the last campus master plan we did was in the late 90s. And so the campus changed a lot. One of the strengths of the campus is our ability to work a plan. So when we get a good plan in place, we really try to stick to the program, as it were, and vary as the needs dictate. So we had an outdated campus master plan that was in great need of being updated, and the university recognized that, and this was several years ago, and about 4 years ago now. And during the course of that planning, we talked a lot about student space and the need to grow student space on campus, and in particular, recreation space. Now, the Junker Center opened in 2001, and that was a fantastic facility. We have many of our varsity teams use that for practice and competition, but we quickly outgrew the building. We were still relying on Erie Hall, which is vintage 1952, and really maxing out the space. So the number one priority that came out of that master plan was to find a way to increase the amount of recreation and general student use space. And that's what the Erie Hall project really represents, is the culmination of that planning.
And that plan is scientific as well, right? We look at data, we do comparisons to other campuses. I mean, how do you quantify that?
Oh, sure. There are a variety of metrics that are used, the amount of assignable square footage per student, be that in classroom space or general student use space, which would be similar to recreation space. There are metrics for athletics, workout space, laboratory space. There's a myriad of metrics that we use based on what our population is of students, faculty, and staff.
Not only that, that process also, and I will say full disclosure, I was part of it as well, but we had a large set of inputs, large community that was part of that process, campus-wide and otherwise, right?
Campus-wide, great representation from Erie County, from Harbor Creek Township, the city of Erie, as well as members of our Council of Fellows, and of course, students, faculty, and staff. Yeah. So it was a very comprehensive process.
Yeah, I think it was a good one.
And I think it really underscores the impact that Behrend has in the region. So we wanted our partners to be involved, to feel a sense of ownership for the growth of the campus and to have input on how they wanted to see the campus grow.
Well, let's come back to Erie Hall. So as we've announced, we're going to actually raise the current Erie Hall and build a new one. So, you know, I think the question we get, and I'll put it out there, is why not keep the current Erie Hall?
Well, the current plan for Erie Hall is actually the third iteration. Mm-hmm. And if we went back roughly 8 years ago, we first started talking about a new fitness facility that would be adjacent to the Reed Building. And as we studied that program, we realized it wasn't big enough. We weren't going to be able to meet the needs. So the next iteration involved the renovation and expansion of Erie Hall. And that looked to be roughly $16 million, $17 million to execute that program. Well, as we engaged in the campus master planning process and we were looking more holistically, that resulted in us drilling down a little deeper in what the needs of Erie Hall would be in terms of renovation. And in the course of that process, we determined that Erie Hall needed over $10 million in deferred maintenance, which would significantly eat away at the budget to expand the footprint. So from a value perspective, it didn't make sense to renovate the building. It really made more sense to replace it.
Yeah, and I think that's good to, you know, a good discussion for us to have, because we do get that question a lot, which is why I put it out there, you know, so directly. It is a grand building. I mean, it has a lot of memories for people here on campus. There are alumni who tell me they met their spouse in that building. But back in the early days, in the 50s and 60s, that was really the center of the student life on campus.
It was the building. We have some great photos in the archives of all the dances that were held there. Mary Behrend would visit campus and hold formal teas in Erie Hall. Back in the day, it also had a stage, which has since been converted to storage because there's a significant lack of storage in that building. But it really was the center of student life for many, many years, and it was an intimidating place to play, especially volleyball and basketball. With basketball, there might be 3-4 feet between the opposing team's bench and our students. The fans who came to watch it would be very loud. It could be very intimidating, and our coaches loved it. But the reality is we grew and we've outgrew the facility.
Yeah, I hear those stories from people from other universities. Oh, yeah, I remember playing in your Erie Hall back in the 70s. But, yeah, it has changed so much. The center of student activities has changed. But let's go back to Erie Hall for a minute. As we were saying before, many alumni, many people in the community, they just have great memories. How are they reacting? How are the alumni reacting to this decision?
Well, I think it depends on how long it's been since the alums have seen the building. For some of our alums who have been back more recently and they've taken a walk around Erie Hall, they realize, well, it's getting a little long in the tooth and maybe it's time to move on. Some of our alums are very excited about being a part of the new building, particularly alums from the sports teams that are going to be located there. Baseball alum, softball alum, wrestling, which we just reestablished mm-hmm. a couple of years ago. We had a history of wrestling prior. So there are former athletes who are enthusiastic about the new building and want to help us with that. We've also been approached by some alums who want to get a piece of the floor. Mm-hmm. So our athletic director, Brian Streeter, Brian is working out a process where folks will be able to purchase a piece of Erie Hall as a memento from past days.
That's a great idea, and I'm getting that question a lot, so mm-hmm. that's good to hear. Now, that building, is it part of the historic core?
No, the campus engaged the citizens of Erie. It was the first publicly funded building on campus, and that was in 1952. So the funds came from citizens of Erie. And so it was built after the campus was established. When we think about planning for the campus, we kind of draw a circle around the original buildings that the Barons donated to establish the college. So the Glen Hill Farmhouse, the Turnbull Hall, the Carriage House, the Studio Theater, those are part of that original core. We call it the historic core. We want to preserve those. We want to make sure that the character of the Glen Hill Farm is kept intact. But Erie Hall isn't one of those facilities. And so that lent it to be replaced. We wouldn't think about replacing one of the historic buildings at this point.
Let's bring it to today. Today, our current students, mm-hmm. are they excited about the project?
Students are thrilled. One of the things that I really admire and respect about our students has been their commitment to this project. The students have dedicated $9 million of their student facility fee money to help pay for this $25 million project. Now, that facility fee money was voted on by students to pay. It's a self-tax, mm-hmm. and they agreed to pay that fee. And so we go back to the students. There's a committee composed primarily of students that help establish priorities for the use of those funds. And we survey students, we ask them about the needs, and the facility fees are to go to non-academic projects. And typically, because we lead in the university, we tend to lead with academic mm-hmm. projects, which makes sense, where students are here to learn. So sometimes we have to play catch up, and the facility fee has really helped us do that with this project. But the students have made a rec center the top priority for about 8 years now. And it was such a priority for them that the clear majority of students said they would rather see us bank money for a larger project down the line, which they wouldn't benefit from, mm-hmm. in order to have a better project. And that's really how Erie Hall has come about. The students have earmarked the $9 million and that's a big reason why it went from renovating to replacing, because of their commitment.
Yeah, there's no greater testament. The fact the students said, we'll put $9 million of our own funds towards this. And I can tell you, in order to release those, we do have to get their consent and work mm-hmm. with them to do so. Yep. And it's a good process that we go through to do that. Sticking with that student facility fee, what other things have been funded here in the past with that facility fee that the students have wanted to have?
The most recent project has been the Breakwall, and it's an outdoor gathering space. For folks who are familiar with campus, they'll remember the steps that connected Erie Hall, or excuse me, that connected the Reed Building and Perry Hall. And as those steps deteriorated, we replaced those. And we actually built an indoor stair on the east side of Senate Hall. So the break wall is a place where students can go and hang out between classes. There's a charging stations there. And so that was done last summer. The galley, which is the campus convenience store, was constructed in partnership with Housing and Food Services. So the facility fee paid for the shell of the convenience store, and Housing and Food Services then outfitted it and they operate it. In addition, they pay rent back to the student facility fee while they occupy the that facility. So we've renovated the Reed Auditorium where we show movies. We completely gutted the projection and sound system, the seating. We created lounge space in the Reed Building, as well as smaller projects, bottle filling stations, things like that.
The impact is real. You can see it when
Absolutely.
You're here on this campus. And to your point, that outdoor area that they built outside in the convenience store, you know, they are great amenities for the students. They're gathering space. And this year we've seen more activity there. We've seen student organizations gathering. We've seen some political activity and the like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's at the crossroads of the campus. It runs along a sidewalk that we kind of refer to as Main Street, where a lot of our student traffic going from east to west passes through. And so it gets great utilization.
Ken, let's just keep going forward with some of the new features that there will be in the rec center. So what's going to be in there? And I'm also interested in, how do you get to that process? It seems like it's got to be really complicated to figure out what goes into a building and how you design it. So there's a lot there to dig into.
Well, it is a complicated process, but it is a labor of love. This is the feedback we have gotten from students over the years has been that the Junker Center is too crowded. There aren't enough opportunities for informal recreation. Intramural programs would go later into the evening than what they wanted to see. So we surveyed the students on two occasions, asking them, first, as we were developing the program and to really identify what the priorities were for the students. Then we have to shape that in the design of the building. And our partners with the project, Sasaki out of Boston, as well as Weber Murphy Fox, really demonstrated their ability to listen. Sasaki is a national leader in sports facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we conducted a survey among students asking them about the type of weight equipment they would use, cardio equipment, how often they wanted to work out, a variety of different elements that went into the program statement. Now we're at the point where we're doing construction documents. So as we go from schematic design to construction documents, we have a round of student input sessions, we call them listening sessions, coming up in early September, where students who are athletes or students who currently work out or students who'd like to start working out will tell us more about what they would like to see in the building. Our goal with this building is to lower barriers for students to get engaged, to get involved in recreational activities. One of the challenges we have in our current situation is that the Yagaman Fitness Room, which is in the Junker Center, is very crowded. Students have to wait for equipment. They will wait two or three deep for treadmills, you know, their turn on the barbells. The plans for the new Erie Hall really reflect that need. We're tripling that amount of space, but we're also creating different areas around the building for students to use. So cardio, different types of cardio equipment, different types of weight training equipment, and then different programs to introduce students to different types of wellness programs, fitness programs. We are placing a significant value on the incorporation of technology. Students love wearable technology, Fitbits, iPhones that are and iWatches that are tracking their fitness activities, their cell phones. Students want to be able to go up to a cardio machine, connect to the machine, record their workout, and then later look at the results of that and look at the results over time. They want to see that in spinning classes. They want to see that in weightlifting. So the incorporation of technology into the building is really important. It's also a key feature in lowering barriers, because for some students and for others of us, we might not feel comfortable going into a yoga class. If we haven't done yoga in the past, we might not be as willing to try it in a group of 30 other people, but we might try it if we had an opportunity to put up a yoga program on a large screen TV in a multi-purpose room that provided a little more privacy, a little more comfort level as students, as they became more comfortable with the type of workout they want to do. So it's the core of what we're trying to do with the students is lower barriers for more engagement, because it promotes a healthy lifestyle. It's the same reason why we located personal counseling in the building, because student health is about mind, body, spirit, and the ability to work through the stress of college, the anxiety of the challenge that college represents. We're really going to give them an opportunity to deal with that in healthy ways in this building.
Yeah, and those, you know, they're really important things to take into the design. How are the students going to use it? How are they going to react? Are they going to be comfortable in the space? Mm-hmm. Let's continue on with Erie Hall and what's going to be happening in there. This will be for our students and their personal fitness, but it'll benefit our varsity athletic teams as well. How will that happen?
Absolutely. Well, I think the team that will perhaps benefit the most is a wrestling program, because they'll have some dedicated space. When you share a building like the current Erie Hall, the team has to roll up the mat each time after practice. Anybody who's been involved with wrestling knows you much prefer to leave the mats down. So they'll have a dedicated space for wrestling, team locker room, and really more of a home with the facility. Baseball and softball also will have team locker rooms. They are located just across College Drive. So the fields are in close proximity to where the locker room space, as well as our track and field teams and cross country. All the student athletes are going to benefit by increased athletic training facilities. That's a significant part of how we support our student athletes, is with their physical well-being. So providing more opportunities in athletic training, I think, is going to be very important for them.
Yeah, and I can tell you our coaches are excited as well. Personal counseling is there. Why is that?
When we think about wellness and we think about fitness, we always, I think, first think about physical well-being. And one of the things, one of the issues over the last 20 years or so that has gained more attention on college campuses has been the mental health of our students. And I think that's been one of the more significant changes in regard to my work in student affairs. Students are much more comfortable seeking out help from a mental health perspective. And in many ways, it's been destigmatized. And I think that's a healthy attitude to have. And so by locating the personal counseling office in the new Erie Hall, we really want to emphasize that connection between positive mental health and positive physical health. So in addition to the staff's offices, so we have four full-time counselors on campus, also a caseworker on campus. It's a great opportunity to merge the mental health activities, group work, how to deal with anxiety, how to deal with stress, how to deal with depression, which are the top three presenting symptoms in personal counseling. And the director of personal counseling, Sue Daly, who's also a longtime member of the college staff, really seized on this opportunity to combine the mental well-being and physical well-being. They're envisioning that they will be able to utilize the facilities from a physical perspective to benefit students from a mental health perspective. So, for instance, we've created a multi-purpose space that's immediately adjacent to the personal counseling office. So they can hold different workshops, different activities in that space. And it's also space that can be available to other students during those times it's not used by personal counseling. But I think it makes a real statement about our commitment to our students' overall well-being.
I will echo our commitment is great. The need of our students is growing, and it's an important support area in colleges across the country. You've seen it in the news, and it's discussed quite regularly. And I'm just impressed by Sue Daly and her staff.
They do a great job. They really do.
They're very welcoming. They see a tremendous number of students, and they're just committed to what they do. Well, let's talk about the plan from here. So when will we see this building? When does construction happen? When can we start using it?
Well, the next steps during the course of this year, we'll continue to refine the plans. Next spring, late next spring, the building will be put out for bid for construction. On May 1st, we're going to close Erie Hall for good, and we'll begin the teardown process. And we'll start to see the dirt fly next May. And it's about a 20-month, maybe a little bit less, construction schedule. Mm-hmm. So we will be open for fall of 22 for our new class. But maybe, if we're lucky, maybe a little bit earlier than that. Well, maybe spring of 22.
We shall see, but great things take time sometimes mm-hmm. to happen. Now, this building's going to make a statement when you come into the campus. It's going to change the look.
Absolutely. One of the objectives of the program is when you come through the campus, you're immediately struck by the Lilly Library. And that's a beautiful view of that building. And then you come a little farther and you see the Bob and Sally Metzger Admission and Alumni Center, which is also a gorgeous facility. And then tucked behind the trees is this brown barn-like building that's Erie Hall. Well, once this building is completed, as you come through and you see the library and the Metzger building, the new Erie Hall is going to pop. It's going to have an immediate presence. We want to communicate the activity in the building, so it's not a mystery as to what's happening in the building. You're going to know it's a recreation and fitness center as you drive through. It will significantly change the curb appeal of that area, which mm-hmm. we're very excited about. The early drawings of the building are just spectacular.
I've seen them, and well, I just can't wait to see what it looks like in the end. Now, one of the things that is high on everyone's mind right now is sustainability. Mm-hmm. So how is sustainability and green practices, how are they taken into account in this building?
Well, as we think about the building and its relationship to the Reed building and the Metzger building, this is almost heresy to say on a college campus, but we're actually considering the removal of parking. And we want to reduce the hard surface that currently exists outside of the Metzger building and the Reed building to create more of a lawn, a quad type feel. So we're paying a lot of attention to how this building fits in that neighborhood per se. And then as we look to the building itself, construction materials, rainwater retention, all of those items that are related to LEED certification, we're working on those right now.
We're coming to the end of our time. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the important piece with regard to Erie Hall, as well as the campus master plan, is the listening process. That the buildings we build, the academic programs we create, the operation of the campus is really based on getting feedback, soliciting feedback, and using that to be better. We got to be better today than we were yesterday. We got to be better tomorrow than we are today. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of Barron. I think it's certainly indicative of the leadership of the campus. I think Erie Hall really represents a plan that has come out of the needs of the students, the campus community, and we've been diligent about making it happen.
Well, that's a great way to end today. And thank you for being our guest, Ken.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight with Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron.